They are detached from this material world and Nishkinchanaihi, who are practicing pure devotional service, like that. Okay. So, can you try to recollect words?
Tan Anayadvam. Anayadvam.
Yeah, can you try to recollect the words?
Anayadvam.
Anabhatyam.
Anayadvam. Please bring to me whom?
Asatan.
Asatan. Those non-devotees. What is the nature of the non-devotees? Grihe Baddha Trishnan. They are thirsty for enjoying material comforts. What is wrong with that? Vrayavaramani, because it takes them to hell. What is the second characteristic of the non-devotees?
Asanghi.
Vimukhan.
They are against, they are opposed to what?
Mukunda, Padarinda, Rajasaranda.
Mukunda, Padaravinda, Makaranda, Rasad, Vimukhan. They are opposed to tasting the honey from the lotus feet of Krishna. But the same lotus feet are?
Paramahamsa.
The same lotus feet are served by the devotees.
Paramahamsa Kulaihi.
Paramahamsa Kulaihi Jushta. They are served. And what is the nature of the Paramahamsa Kulaihi?
Asanghi.
They are detached. And?
Nishkinchanaihi.
They are attached to performing only pure devotional service. Like that. Okay. So we'll chant this three times. Tanayadvam asato vimukhan mukunda padaravinda makaranda rasat nishkinchanair paramahamsa kulair asangair dushtadgrihe nirayavartmani baddha trishnan san anayadvam asato vimukhan mukunda darabinda makaranda rasat ajasram nishkinchanai paramahamsa kulai rasangai dushtadgrihe nirayavartmani baddha trishnan san anayadvam asato vimukhan mukunda padarabinda makaranda rasat ajasram Nishkinchanair paramahamsa kulair asangair Jushtad grihe nirayavartmani baddha trishnan Tan anayadvam asato vimukhan mukunda Padaravinda makarandara sadajasram Nishkinchanair paramahamsa kulair asangair Jushtadgrihe nirayavartmani baddha krishnan. There is one word that we missed out. Which word?
Nirayavartmani we missed out.
Ajastram.
Ajastram we missed out. Ajastram means continuously. So, okay. Ajastram must come with Ajasram Paramahamsa Kulair. So it is, even though it is not explicitly mentioned, Ajasram means continuous or non-stop. So it should actually refer to the devotees serving the lotus feet of the Lord continuously, like that. Okay. So Rohinandan too.
First line?
Yeah, first line.
Tananayadvam asato vimukhan mukunda.
Okay, Hari Bhakti Prabhu, second line. हरि भक्ति प्रभु
यस प्रभु जी पादारविंद मकरंद रजस अजस्रम
प्रसाद
मुक्तकेश प्रभु थर्ड लाइन
निष्किंचनस्य परमहंस कुलेर संग
आश्रय गोपाल भोग फोर्थ लाइन
जुष्टाद गृहे निरय वर्तमनि बद्ध तृष्णा
ओके आदि गोपाल प्रभु फर्स्ट टू लाइंस
आदि गोपाल प्रभु इज नॉट देयर प्रभु इज इन अ मीटिंग आई गेस
ओके अखिल आत्म प्राण प्रभु इज देयर
या
ओके फर्स्ट टू लाइंस कैन यू चैंट
तान अन तान अन्वदयम् अनयद्वम् अनयद्वम् विमुख असतो विमुख विमुखान मुकुंद पादारविंद पादारविंद मकरंद रज
अजस्रम
रजस्रम
प्रसाद अजस्रम ओके कमल गोइंग थ्रू नेक्स्ट टू लाइंस
Actually, I just joined Guruji. I could not hear before.
Oh, you could not.
Actually, I joined just
now. You joined just now. Okay, fine. Okay, who else is left? Jayadvait Prabhu is there?
He just joined.
Okay, who else is there?
Srinivas Priya Prabhu.
Oh, Srinivas Priya Prabhu, where are you hiding?
Here only.
Next
minute.
Last minute.
You are our senior. You have already completed this.
No, Guruji.
Haribo.
We did not recite during our time these verses.
Okay.
Few verses.
Fine. Okay. Someone can chant the whole verse. Who wants to try? Okay. Muktakesh Prabhu and Hari Bhakti Prabhu together, you try help each other.
Sananayadvamasato vimukhad mukunda
Hari Bol. Okay. Who else would like to tag along? Rohini Nandan Prabhu and is Prekopesh Prabhu there?
No, he's not there.
Okay. Rohinandan Prabhu and Tamal Goyan Prabhu. Tamal Goyan Prabhu, you came late, I know. So you can look at the verse. And whenever Rohinandan Prabhu forgets, you can remind him.
Okay. Tanayadvam asato Vimukhan Mukunda Adaranda Makaranda Prasad Prasad Ajasram निष्किंचनैः परमहंसकुलैः
असंगैः जुष्टाद् गृहे वर्त्मनि
So, what type of people should we bring to you? He says, bring the non-devotees. They are described. They are averse to the taste of honey from the lotus feet of the Lord and the method to attain it, which is Bhakti Yoga. These persons do not practice Bhakti Yoga. Because they are opposed to Bhakti, they have no desire for the taste of Lord's sweetness. So desire for Lord's sweetness means, I think someone is, you have to mute. I am hearing my own voice. So they are opposed to taste the Lord's sweetness means, which means they don't have the Supreme Lord as their prayojan. So they may worship the Supreme Lord, they may accept the Supreme Lord to be the absolute truth, that is fine. But they may worship the Supreme Lord to attain some other benefit other than the Supreme Lord himself. So in that case, such people are not attracted to to taste the Lord's sweetness, which means only pure devotees fall within this category. Even mixed devotees have mixed desires. They don't fall within this category. They don't fall. Of course, they are not vimukhan, but at the same time, they are not like seriously unmukhan also. They are attracted to other benefits like that. So what is the taste? What is the taste? It is served by persons with devotion as the principal means. Pure bhakti, nishkinchanaihi. So only nishkinchanas can taste that sweetness because they don't have attachment to anything else. That's what is indicated by asangaihi. Non-devotees are greedy for householder life, which leads them to hell. Okay. Like that. Any quick comments, questions, or we can move on to the purport.
Prabhuji, there is one song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Kripa Karo Vaishnava Thakur. In that he says, na pratishtha shasha asi rudaya dushibe hoibo niraya gami. So the meaning is like, means amita vaishnava ye buddhi hoile. If I think I am a Vaishnava, then
one who is troubled by the pratishtha, then he goes to hell.
So like just now you told about mixed devotees. So, but mixed devotees also, they will not go to hell, na Prabhuji?
Yeah, they will not go to hell. See, the word niraya or hell is used in different contexts. Like for example, kaivalyam narakayate. So, matlab, does it mean that Sai Brahma Jyoti is hell?
No.
So, sometimes it may not necessarily indicate the actual nature of it, but it could also indicate how a person experiences it. You understand, na? Like for example, let's say. Someone very dear to us has passed away, and feel their remembrance to be like a blazing fire burning our heart, like that. So it is not that literally it has become fire, but it is the experience of the person, or it sometimes it could also indicate the experience of an onlooker, like when Brahmaji was seeing Indra, engaged in the form of a hog. He was thinking, "Oh, how hellish!" Okay, so from the it is experience of an onlooker who is used to experiencing a higher taste. So sometimes we say that when the devatas see the pleasure of the human beings, they think how hellish, like that. But it is not actually hellish suffering. It is not the experience of the human beings who are experiencing it, but the onlooker, the devatas, because they are used to a higher level of experience, they feel that, oh, this is hellish. Just like here, the devotee is feeling kaivalyam narakayate. For him, because there is no opportunity for serving. So, nirayagami does not necessarily literally mean that they will go to hell and just because they desired some fame, they will literally go to hell and Yamaraj will roast them in oil and all that. It need not be used in that sense. Sometimes it is used in that sense also. Sometimes it is used in such non-literal sense also, like that.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else before we move on to Prabhupada's purport? Okay, Prabhupada, we can read.
After warning the Yamadutas not to approach the devotees, Yamaraj now indicates who is to be brought before him. He specifically advises the Yamadutas to bring him the materialistic persons who are attached to household life for merely for sex. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Yan Maituna Adi Grihamedi Sukhamitucham. People are attached to household life for sex only. They are always harassed in many ways by their material engagements, and their only happiness is that after working very hard all day at night, they sleep and indulge in sex. Hidraya Riyate Naktam Vivayena Chavavayaha. At night, materialistic householders sleep or indulge in sex life. Divacharthaya Rajan Kutumba Bharanenaba. During the day, they are busy trying to find out where money is. And if they get the money, they spend it to maintain their families. Yamaraja specifically advises his servants to bring these persons to him for punishment and not to bring the devotees who always lick the honey at the lotus feet of the Lord, who are equal to everyone and who try to preach Krishna consciousness because of sympathy for all living entities.
Prabhupada is last talking from the previous verse.
Devotees are not liable to punishment by Yamaraj, but persons who have no information of Krishna consciousness cannot be protected by their material life of so-called family enjoyment. Srimad Bhagavatam says 214, Deha Patya Kalatradishu Atma Sainyeshu Satusapi Desham Pramanto Nidaram Pashyan Apina Pashyati. Such persons complacently believe that their nations, communities or families can protect them, unaware that all such fallible soldiers will be destroyed in due course of time. In conclusion, one should try to associate with persons who engage in devotional service 24 hours a day.
Yeah. Okay. Jahmana Bhakti Bhamadheyam. Chetaschana smarati tacharanaravindam Krishnaya no namati yatirate kalapi ananayam sapukhyam. So this is very very simple verse compared to the previous verse. He says, tan asato anayadvam. So you know, these three words were there in the previous verse also. Tan, those, asato, non-devotees, anayadvam, bring them.
Hare Krishna.
So, yad shiraha, whose heads, yekada api no namanti, whose heads have never even once bowed Krishnaya to Lord Krishna.
Prabhuji, the qualities range is going.
Oh, my range is going?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now it is.
There is huge gap, Puji, between we missed a lot actually.
No, it has anything to do with that. Let me come close to the window and sit and see if it is better. Is it better now?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Hi, Bon.
Ah, yes, Prabhuji.
So can you start again this verse? There was a lot of...
Okay, but can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, because on Fridays, because there is power cut here, sometimes they stop the Jio signal also for some, you know, for some maintenance purpose.
Okay.
So... probably that's why the signal is not clear. But is it, if you are able to hear now,
yeah.
Then we will continue.
Yes, Prabhuji.
If it is too disturbing, then we can continue on Monday.
No, we can continue later. It's clear.
Continue, na? Okay. So in this verse, he is continuing in the same mode. Jihvana Vakti Bhagavat Gunanamadeyam. Jihwa, once whose tongue, na vakti, does not speak, Bhagavad Guna Namadeyam, the qualities and names of the Supreme Lord. Chetaschana smarati tat charanaravindam. Chetaha, whose minds na smarati, does not remember, does not meditate upon tat charanaravindam, their lotus feet. Krishnaya no namati yat shira ekadapi. No namati, with does not bow down, Krishnaya, to Krishna. Yat shira, whose head, ekadapi, even once, it does not bow down to Krishna. Tan, those people, anayadvam, bring them. Asato, those non-devotees. Akrita Vishnu Krityan, who have thus not engaged in any of these kinds of services to Lord Vishnu, bring them here because they are fit to be brought to hell for punishment. This is what Yamaraj is indicating here. Is my voice clear now?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. Okay. So, when in your spare time, you can memorize this verse. Very nice verse, but much more simpler than the previous verse. You can always memorize. Okay. Those are called Sat or devotee who have even once chanted the name of the Lord or remembered him. So the word ekada api, even once, should be applied to all these things. So even once, if someone has either chanted the glories of names of the Lord, or whose head has offered obeisances to the Supreme Lord, or whose minds have meditated on the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, then such people are called as devotees. So a very lenient definition, actually. So bring persons other than those people. Bring those who have not chanted once the name, and even if their tongues are not active, bring those whose minds have not once remembered the Lord. So someone may say, oh, he's a dumb person, you know, he cannot speak. So that's okay, but at least his mind, if he has once remembered Krishna, then you cannot bring him here. If their minds are disturbed, then at least bring those who have not once bowed their heads to the Lord. So someone may say, he has always had a disturbed life, his mind was always disturbed. Then at least he must have bowed his head to me once. So basically, those who go to hell, you know, are very serious people, actually. Because here, Yamaraj is giving a very, very simple thing, you know, which we might think would filter most people of this world. Oh, they must have at least chanted once. They must have at least bowed down once to the Supreme Lord. They must have at least remembered the Supreme Lord once. But interestingly, 99% of people fall within this category who have not even once glorified the holy name or qualities or remembered the Lord or bowed down to him. The word once should be understood for all the statements. Bring those who have not done any service to Vishnu, either purely or at least as the predominant process. Oh, you see here, this is clarifying. So it has to be, so those who practice either pure devotional service or Pradhanibhuta Bhakti, these two categories of people, they are not fit to be taken to hell. But the others are non-Vaishnavas. Non-Vaishnavas means even those who do Gunibhuta Bhakti cannot be strictly called as Vaishnavas or Bhaktas, because Bhakti is not the predominant process. You see here, Shiloshina Jagadakur says, bring those who have not done any service to Vishnu, either purely, this is pure devotional service, or at least as the predominant process, which is Pradhanibhuta. These are non-Vaishnavas. Once, Ekada Api can be interpreted as once in a lifetime, once in a year, or once in a day, according to different opinion. So, here, which is reasonable, even it could be once in a day, because one who is practicing Pradhanibhuta Bhakti or Shuddha Bhakti, at least once in a day, he would either chant the name, remember the Lord, or offer obeisances to him. At least one of these, at least once he would do. So therefore, to understand this as even once in a day is not a an unreasonable presentation, because here he clearly clarifies that it is either Pradhanibhuta Bhakta or a pure devotee. So which means at least once a day he would either remember him or offer obeisances to him or chant his name or glories. Okay. Any quick comments, questions before we move on to Srila Prabhupada's purport?
Roji, one question.
Yeah.
For Ajamil, like childhood he was doing something, correct? He had nice saintly qualities and then he got distracted and he committed sinful activities and finally he remembered the Vishnu Dutas.
Correct.
Means he saw the Vishnu Dutas and due to which he again practiced bhakti. So for someone who came in contact with devotees who practiced devotional service, but again due to some reason who left Krishna consciousness and again went into sinful life. So some examples here when devotees have come back, but some examples can also be there wherein a devotee once having gone, he has not returned in this life. So next life he will surely return, because like that is means Krishna consciousness he will complete. But then after his life, will he go to Yamaraj? Then does he have a chance?
No. Okay. Because okay. So if you take the meaning of Ekadapi as once in a day, you may say that for such a person, after he relapsed back into sinful life, there were many days when even once he did not think of Krishna or, offer obeisances to Krishna or chant his name or glories. One may say like that. But still, that is not what is the conclusion of Bhagavatam. Navai jano jatu katanchana vrajen mukunda sevi anyavadanga samsatan smaran mukundangri upaguhanam punar vihatu michen rasagraho jana. So it is mentioned that the Supreme Lord takes the responsibility of giving him constant remembrances of himself. So once in a while, so how do we know that he has not remembered Krishna or devotees or something connected to Krishna in a favorable way, even once? So we can say that, I never saw him paying obeisances. I never saw him chanting the holy name or chanting the glories. But how can you say that even the remembrance of Krishna did not come to him even once? So that we cannot say. So therefore, definitely such people will not go to hell. It is. That is the understanding.
So,
Rohindanan too.
So this verse, as it is mentioned by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, that it is for those who are not pure devotees or at least Pradhani Bhuta
Bhakta.
So this is not, so that means those people who are like pious materialist, means though they may be chanting the holy names regularly, means as a part of their procedure, regular routine or something. So they are not part of that. Surely.
Yeah, they are not part of that. Yeah.
They may be taken by Yamdutas.
Yeah, because they are already trading the holy name for some material benefits. And they may be committing other offenses. They may consider the glories of the holy name to be exaggerated because of their attraction to the karmakanda process. Or they may consider the holy name to be on the level of other karmakandiya processes. So in this way, they may sometimes even consider the holy name to be subordinate to the karmakandiya process, this is a more serious offense. So such people, they cannot, that is not really glorification of the holy name or even chanting the holy name. When you consider it, actually subordinate even to the karmakandiya processes. So such people, and also because by chanting the holy name, they are expecting some material benefit, they may get that material benefit. But for whatever wrongdoings they do, if they are destined to go to hell, then they will go to hell. Anything else?
Sri Chaitanya.
Yes, bro.
I have one question, bro.
Yes, bro.
It's like we hear of a person, he is telling that Pura. Krishna. That one person, he is carrying a puff rice and then he says Govinda Arpanam when the wind. So that will, that person has to go to Yamraj once after his death. So that he comes in this category, right? Gunimhut. Because he also chanted.
Yeah, he must be. Yeah. Not everyone who chants the holy name is actually either Pradhani Bhuta or pure devotional chanting. So, yeah, if he had to go to Yamaraj, then definitely he must not fall within that category.
And the devotees, those we say generally if somebody commits Vaishnava Aparad or like that, then still he won't go to hell, right? Or that one somebody became ghost, one devotee who offended, I don't remember the name.
Yeah. Was it
Ramchandra Kaviraj? No.
Roop Kaviraj. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, true. Actually, if it depends on, if the aparad is so severe that it offsets all the devotional credits and it takes him outside the realm of bhakti only, so then at that point of time, such a person falls within the realm of karma. So such a person can go to hell. It is possible.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that right now we are committing some offenses to the holy name. So because we are committing offenses to the holy name, that does not necessarily mean that we also fall within the category of going to hell. It is not like that. Because we are favorably performing many limbs of devotional service while also committing some offenses. So if the collective result of the favorable devotional service minus the whatever we may lose due to offensively performing devotional service, if it is positive, then still we are good. And for most people, it would be positive, the fact that they are still in devotional service. But in some cases, we may become habitual offenders, and in such cases, and our practice may become weaker and weaker and weaker. And at some stage, we may lose complete faith in the process only. That can happen. Under such cases, such people can go to hell because they have lost their qualification for bhakti only. Either Pradhani Bhuta or Puni Bhuta, both. They lose that qualification.
Mm. Okay. Thank you.
Anything else?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Hari Bhakti Prabhu, you can read purport.
The word Vishnu Krityan is very important in this verse because the purpose of human life is to please Lord Vishnu. Vanadashram Dharma is also meant for that purpose. As stated in the Vishnu Puran 3.8.9, Varnashrama Acharavata Purushena Parapuman Vishnur Aradhate Panta Nanyantartosha Karanam. Human society is meant to follow strictly the Varnashram Dharma, which divides society into four social divisions and four spiritual divisions. Varnashram Dharma easily brings one nearer to Lord Vishnu, who is the only true objective in human society. Nate vidusvartha gatim hi Vishnu. Unfortunately, however, people do not know that their self-interest is to return home back to Godhead or to approach Lord Vishnu. Durashayaye bahir arthamanina. Instead, they are simply bewildered. Every human being is expected to perform duties for approaching Lord Vishnu. Therefore, Yamaraj advises the Yamadutas to bring him those persons who have forgotten their duties towards Lord Vishnu. Akrita Vishnu Krityan. One who does not chant the holy name of Lord of Vishnu, Krishna, one who does not bow down to the deity of Vishnu, and one who does not remember the lotus feet of Vishnu is punishable by Yamaraj. In summary, all Avaishnavas, persons unconcerned with Lord Vishnu, are punishable by Yamaraj.
Okay. So, and now in this last verse of this section, he is going to beg for forgiveness. He is going to beg for forgiveness from Lord Vishnu for the offense. Any question?
No problem.
Okay. Okay. So, we will chant. Tachamyatam sa Bhagavan Purusha Purano Narayana Swapurushairaja Satkritam na Swanam Ahona Vidusham Rachitanjalinam Kshantir Kariyasinama Purushaya Bhumne. So, he says, Saha Bhagavan Narayanaha, may that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan, Purusha Purana, Purana Purushaha, who is the most ancient person, who Swa Purushahi, along with his servants, may Lord Narayan, the Supreme Lord, the most ancient person, along with his servants, Swanam, Nahakshamyatam, may he forgive me, Swa Purushahi, along with my servants. So basically, Yamaraj did not commit an offense, but because as a master, he takes the offense of his servants. Does this remind you of any other pastime?
Lord Vishnu taking responsibility of Jayavijay.
Correct. What does he say?
I'll
lop off my hands. What does that indicate?
He's taking responsibility.
Correct. He's taking responsibility. That is one meaning. And he considers his devotees as part of his own body. Yeah. Like that. Okay. May Narayan, the Supreme Lord, the most ancient person, along with his servants, forgive me and my servants who are ignorant. Rachita Anjalinam, and who are folding our hands in humility. My dear Lord, you see, we are now offering our, in humility, we are holding our hands and offering prayers to you. And hopefully, while Yamaraj was speaking this, the Yamadutas would have heard this and they would have folded their hands. Yad asatkritam, for the improper treatment of the devotees, like in this case, Ajamil. Shantihi gariyasi purushaya. Forgiveness is befitting of the greatest person. So he says, gariyasi purushaya shantihi. So they say that to err is human, to forgive is divine. So like that, something similar to that, Yamaraj is speaking in Sanskrit. He says, Shantihi Gariyasi Purushaya. Gariyasi Purushaya, for a great person, forgiveness should come naturally. It befits a person of a great stature like you, O Supreme Lord. Namaha Bhumni, I offer respects to the great Lord. Like that he says. So basically he is begging for forgiveness on behalf of his servants. Like that. So, here there is a nyaya which Srila Vishnu Chagadaguru mentions here. Britya aparade swamino dandaha iti nyaya. Punish the master for the offense of the servant. Like that. So in that sense, he is taking the offense upon himself. Yamaraj considers his servant's offense to be his own and humbly offers respects to the Lord. Therefore, may the Lord forgive me along with my followers who are very bad persons. So he says, Sva Purushaihi can also be translated as Apurushaihi. So Su means very much. Apurushaihi means very bad persons. Apurushaihi means improper persons, bad persons. Su Apurushaihi means very bad persons. Asatkritam for their acting improperly in this case of Ajamil. Out of ignorance they have done this. They are folding their hands now. But one forgives only those who cannot be punished. So someone may say, forgiveness means if someone has not committed an offense, he is fit to be forgiven. But your people have committed a serious offense. How can they be forgiven? How can you ask for forgiveness? So he says, yes, we are fit to be punished. But to forgive befits your nature as the greatest person, O Supreme Lord. Like that they say. Yes, we are fit to be punished. But forgiveness is the quality of the greatest person. And he says, another version has Swana Mahaha. My servants did not know the greatness of Vishnu's servants. So, in that case, it would mean Swanam Mahaha. So, Swanam Aho Na Vidusham Rachitanjalinam would become Swanam Aho. So, Swanam Aho, Maho. It will become Swanam Mahaha Na Vidusham, which means they did not understand the greatness of the Vishnu Dutas. So therefore, they were ignorant. So therefore, you should forgive them like that. Okay. So, any quick comments, questions before we move on to Prabhupada's purport? Okay. Hari Bhakti Prabhu, you can read.
Lord Yamaraj took upon himself the responsibility for the offense committed by his servants. If the servant of an establishment makes a mistake, the establishment takes responsibility for it. Although Yamaraj is above offenses, his servants, practically with his permission, went to arrest Ajamil, which was a great offense. The Nyaya Shastra confirms, Britya Aparade Swamino Dandaha. If a servant makes mistake, the master is punishable because he is responsible for the offense. Taking this seriously, Yamaraj along with his servants prayed with folded hands to be excused by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayana.
Like that. Okay. If there are no further comments or questions, so we will
Prabhuji,
move on.
One question by Shanyas Prabhu.
Yes, Prabhu.
In case we are guiding many students, and let's say students commit some mistake, then that will come to the guide like that.
The point is, one thing is taking responsibility. Another thing is, who will be held responsible? So one thing is from the side of the one who has committed the offense and his master, what should be their mode. Another is, what is legally what will be done, from the point of view of the legal court. Okay. So if we are taking care of boys, if boys commit an offense or a mistake, will we be punished for that? That is one point of view. But the point of view that we are discussing here is the mentality of a good master is that he takes responsibility for the mistakes committed by his servants. So that mentality of that master is the focus here, rather than is he fit to be punished or not? You know, that is the you know, legal system's point of view. But having said that, if that person has committed a mistake because you know, we have not done our services properly, then yes. But then again, if we have been negligent, then we will be punished for that. But if still, if we have done our job, then Krishna understands. I don't know if it is if what we discussed was relevant. You can please share.
Okay. Like in case of guru disciple, then how it applies
to Krishna? Oh, in case of guru disciple, of course, when the disciple commits a mistake, the guru can be punished if he has, without proper discrimination, accepted the disciple. So, or in some other systems where the person who recommends that person, he may also get a part of that mistake, because the guru trusted that subordinate, and that subordinate improperly suggested a person's name who was not fit to be initiated. So in that case, it's like a little complex thing. It is not very straightforward in that sense. So ultimately, yes. And if the disciple is absolutely unwilling to be corrected by the guru, then he should actually be rejected by the guru. So that is the right process. So once the guru comes to understand the fallen state of the disciple, if he suggests some rectification procedures, and if the disciple is unwilling to be rectified, then he should at once give up that disciple. Like that.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else before we move on? Did we read the purport?
Yes.
Hari Bhakti Bro?
Yes.
Okay. So, Haribol.
Ah, Prabhuji, now we are able to hear.
Yeah, you are able to hear. Oh, we still have 5 minutes, right?
Mm.
Yeah. So we will do one more verse and then we will end today's discussion. Oh, this is famous verse. Mm. You all must have already memorized this verse. Tasmat sankirtanam vishnor jagan mangalamam hasam. Mahatam api kauravya vidyai kantika nishkritam. So this is like, he is going to summarize the whole thing. So he says, therefore he uses the word tasmat. So kauravya. So this is Shukadeva Goswami addressing Parikshit Maharaj now. Kauravya, oh descendant of the Kurus, because certainly the Yamadutas are not descendants of Kurus. So Parikshit Maharaj, O Kauravya, O descendant of the Kurus, Tasmat, therefore, Viddi, you should understand, Vishnoho Sankirtanam, intense chanting of the Lord's name, Jagat Mangalam, is very auspicious for this whole universe. Aikantika Nishkritam. Nishkritam is atonement, Aikantika is complete, absolute Nishkritam, atonement. Mahatam api amhasam, even for the greatest of all sins, the ultimate atonement is chanting the holy name, intense chanting of the holy name, which is auspicious for the whole universe. Therefore, you should understand this, O descendant of the Kurus, like that. So, everyone has, or at least most devotees have memorized this verse, right? Or not?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. Okay. So he says, on the evidence of the statements of Yama and Vishnu's servants, a small amount of chanting destroys all sins. Then how much more can be accomplished by intense chanting? Sankirtanam. So Shukadev speaks this verse, even though it is not mentioned, Vyasakir Uvachar, Sri Shuka Uvachar. This is understood that Shukadev Goswami is only speaking this verse. Okay. Purport.
Purport. We should note that although Ajamil chanted the name of Narayan imperfectly, he was delivered from all sinful reactions. Chanting of the holy name is so auspicious that it can free everyone from the reactions of sinful activities. One should not conclude that one may continue to sin with the intention of chanting Hare Krishna to neutralize the reaction. Rather, one should be very careful to be free from all sins and never think of counteracting sinful activities by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, for this is another offense. If by chance a devotee accidentally performs some sinful activity, the Lord will excuse him, but one should not intentionally perform sinful acts.
Yeah. Correct. So, actually, just with this one comment, we will end today's discussion. So actually, in one sense, if you see, there is no sin that is accidental. Every sin is premeditated only, because that's how sins happen. Dhyayato vishayan pumsan sangasteshu pajayate sangat sanjayate kamat kamat krodho bijayate. So, it all starts with dhyayato, then sangaha, then kama, then karma leads to the action. So generally, so you cannot say that I never meditated, I never became attached, I never developed the desire to commit it, but nevertheless, I accidentally just committed that sin. So most sins, I mean, in that case, it is probably like Prishadra, King Prishadra at night, wanting to kill the tiger, accidentally killed the cow. So generally, sins don't happen that way. Mostly they are premeditated only. But the kind of premeditation that the scriptures talk about is premeditating that because I have performed bhakti, therefore, even if I commit this sin, I will be excused. So this kind of premeditation is what is called as premeditated sin, because you are meditating on how you can be excused by practice of bhakti. So this kind of premeditation is actually called as premeditated sin. Otherwise, if you see, every sin is preceded by some kind of premeditation on trying to enjoy. So that kind of premeditation is always there. So that way, no sin is accidental sin. Like that. Any quick final comments, questions before we wind up for the day?
So only when one is committing a seventh offense, then it is considered to be premeditated. Otherwise,
every sin is premeditated only. Yeah, nonsense. Yeah, so that is why it is mentioned avidya kama karma bihi. So sinful impressions lead to sinful desires lead to sinful actions. No one can say without sinful desires I committed sinful action. So definitely a desire precedes, and the desire must have been sufficiently premeditated upon for that, because we get many desires. We don't act on all desires. Correct? Because many of the desires do not gain that kind of momentum to actually push us towards action. So only those desires which we have sufficiently meditated upon, ruminated upon, and which has gained sufficient momentum, those desires actually push a person to act on those desires. So therefore, there is a fairly good amount of premeditation that involves before a desire translates into action, actually.
Roji, sometimes can it not happen that circumstances may lead a person to commit sin, and it, the time gap between the premeditation, like yesterday's, I was going to the ashram, and on the way I found Haldar Priyapu. So I had no desire to take sweet, but somehow he was distributing it. So I took it. So similarly, some person, he may be having a laptop or a mobile, and he may not be wanting to watch some dirty thing. But somehow he has opened something, and a particular scene comes. And that point only he gets that kind of. So he just clicks on it and he gets irritated by that. So
yeah.
That is...
Yeah, in that case, the premeditation must have happened before also.
But Prabhuji, he might have done it before, but now it is like just the force of circumstance. Like
Correct.
Anichana. Yeah.
True. So in that case, the premeditation is a very short premeditation, but it is a very strong premeditation. Correct. See, it is not, but it is a very strong premeditation, because definitely at least 1 second or a microsecond would have been there before the time. You saw Haldar Priya Prabhu distributing sweets and you took it.
Mm-hmm.
You could have as well walked past Haldar Priya Prabhu.
Mm-hmm.
At least a momentary premeditation was there. See, of course, it depends on how you would like to define accidental. See, of course, it is not like accidental is an English word, and it can be used in any way we want. So, provided you define it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so in that sense, if you can say, yeah, it is accidental. You can say like that. But still, there is some element of premeditation there. It could be a very momentary premeditation, but it is strong enough to impel him to act on it, which means,
mm-hmm.
That's what you call, I think, impulse and momentum or something like that, right?
Yes, impulse.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah, design.
Is that okay?
Yes, totally.
Okay, so thank you very much for your patient listening. And I am honestly speaking, I'm really relishing these sessions. Hopefully, Krishna willing, this continues. Circumstances don't again put an obstacle. But if that's what is Krishna's desire, that will happen. But still, my desire is that, hopefully if this continues, that would be nice. And you can please share your opinion if you think that we are going too slow, too fast. You kindly share your or if the time is not suiting you, or if it is too long, or if it is too short, or if it is too frequent, too infrequent, whatever you think, you please share. Maybe Hari Bhakti Prabhu or someone can coordinate. And if you have some suggestions, that you want to give, you can give. Otherwise, we will continue it the same way from Monday onwards again. Okay, so you can discuss whatever comments, suggestions you have. You can share it with Hari Bhakti Prabhu, and he can SMS me or speak with me. Okay.
Okay, Prabhu.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Kila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Kila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur ki jai. Hare Krishna.